I am talking to Derek Greco, who is the principal for Immaculate Sweeping, and they're based in New Hampshire. And Immaculate is our featured contractor of the month for January 2008. And I have on the phone with me here, Derek. Congratulations, first off, Derek.
Oh, thank you very much.
There are only 12 contractors that are chosen for this each year, and so good for you.
I feel very honored.
You're in New Hampshire, but you also sweep in Massachusetts. And I know a little about how you got started, actually, in Florida, in high school, sweeping with your dad. So if you would, tell us a little bit about the start of Immaculate down in Florida. What wasn't Immaculate quite then, but how that all got started in Florida, please.
Well, my dad started a janitorial service down there. He was cleaning, banks and hair salons at night, and someone had tapped on one of the doors when he was doing some janitorial work and asked if he'd take care of the parking lot. And of course, being money hungry, he did. And just built it off of that. I think his first thing he purchased was a billy goat, and just built up from there. And then he bought a truck-mounted unit and started Suncoast Sweeping Service just outside of Clearwater, Florida, in a town called Palm Harbor.
Yeah. And then, how long did that run?
That was probably a good 10 years that we owned Suncoast, and the last few years of owning the company, I was in my high school years, so on the weekends I'd run the trucks for them and learned the ins and outs of the trade. Basically, we kind of learned together in a way. And then in 1992, we sold Suncoast Sweeping, and we moved up to New England, just the very southern New Hampshire, in a town called Pelham. And we started Immaculate Power Sweeping. So we've been in business since 92. And 4 years after starting Immaculate, my dad, his name was Angelo Greco, he had a sudden heart attack and he passed away. So given the strong work ethic that he put behind me, I was able to continue with the company and build it quite a bit larger than it was.
Uh-huh. And you have what kind of sweeping fleet today?
Today we have 8 litter trucks, vacuum sweepers. We have 3 mechanical brooms and some other equipment, loaders and bobcats and screening plant for material and whatnot.
Let's talk about your screening plant. I know I get a lot of calls from contractors that are interested in screening and whether that's a good idea or not. What's your experience been to date with that?
Well, it was very difficult. I mean, years back when we didn't have it, we were using just some 6-yard containers, and when we get into the winter months up here, we'd dump it directly into the 6-yard dumpsters, and it came to the point where there was a few times that the trucks couldn't even lift the dumpsters up to empty them. So we knew at that time, in talking to our disposal company up here, that we needed to figure something out. So we looked into screening the material. We had seen some ads in various magazines, and we actually contacted Al Scaropa from Easy Screen and explained what we needed to do and what we were looking for and if he had anything that would help us with that. And, of course, he did, and we bought a machine from him, and we still have the same machine, and it's probably, it's probably 8 to 10 years old now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Easy Screen puts out a good product, is what my understanding is.
We love it. We've structurally, the whole machine, we haven't had to do anything to it. The only thing we've had a little issues with is the little one-cylinder diesel engines that they have in there. I'll replace a few of them, but other than that, it's been a great machine for us.
That's what happens when you use stuff. If you just let it sit, you'd be in better shape.
Yeah.
It wouldn't get as much sifted, though, either. What do you do with your sifted materials? I know you take the littery stuff back to the landfill, but what are you able to do with the sifted-out dirt part?
Well, we were fortunate enough a few years back, roughly 4 years ago, We purchased a 4-acre industrial yard where we have a, I think it's a 5,000 square foot building, which has three bays in it and a separate office. And the rest of the yard is wide open, 4 acres of industrial zoned land. So we're able to stockpile all the debris here right on site. And we actually sell the material for per truckload, and we sell it for $100 to $125 a load to mostly construction companies that are looking to fill areas. We put some small ads in, and now contractors know about us. So we sell quite a bit of material. At first, we were giving it away, just trying to dispose of it. But the screen was doing such a nice job; the material was coming out so clean that we were able to work it the other way.
So now, instead of it being a cost for disposal, you're having actually an income flow from that. That's great.
Yeah, it is. There really has been income from it, it's keeping our costs way down, where we're $80 a ton for disposal, and plus trucking fees as well on top of that. So it's quite costly when we're pulling out, goodness, I mean, I think we figured it out that we're sweeping about 40 to 50 tons of material a month, and probably, I would say at least half of that or maybe a little more is the screens taking that out, so we're saving a lot of money.
All right, that's a good testimonial to the power of screening. Fuel is another thing that you're pretty innovative with. Tell me how you purchase your fuel for your fleet.
Well, we always like to add additive to our fuel, and especially now with the extremely low sulfur diesel, it can be it's not as lubricated as it was years back, and it can be harmful to injection pumps and injectors. So we like to add our own additive. And on top of that, we were just using local fueling stations where, the price is what it is, and, you don't have much room to work with that. So we looked into getting our own tank on site, which we did. We purchased a 1,000-gallon tank, and we get it fueled up twice a week. And we're constantly watching the market, and we purchase from various distributors in the area. Whoever has the best price is supplying us fuel for that week. And the following week, we'll make calls and find out what today's price is and just tell them to come and fill it up again. So we're constantly looking at the market, and we go through quite a bit of fuel. So, 2 to 4 cents per gallon difference adds up to quite a bit of savings, in a month's time.
No question.
And plus having the tank on site, we're able to add the additive right to the tank instead of, individual trucks. So that's also very helpful.
Is that an additive that you want to talk about, what you've decided to put in, or is that proprietary?
I use a product that we get from a company called Texas Refinery Corp. It's called Diesel Pep, and there's another one called Arctic Pep. They're the same product, but the one that's the Arctic also has an anti-gelling agent in it for the wintertime, so we don't have any issues there. But it's a very high lubricating additive that's put in so that we don't have any problems with our engines, or if we do, at least we can say we tried to prevent them.
Mm-hmm, you bet.
It gets
a longer engine life. That's a big advantage too, or can be.
Yeah, exactly.
My understanding is you have GPS system. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we do. Being in the sweeping industry, a lot of work is done at night, and a lot of work is done where it's a single employee in a truck, and they're working by themselves. So, we can't babysit all of our employees by any means. No company can, especially running a fleet of trucks. It's hard to keep your grasp on everybody. But with the GPS system, we have it through our Nextel phones, and we use an application called Zora Time Track. And it's an application that works just like a time card. They do a shift start on the phone. They do a shift end on the phone. They do a lunch start and stop. So anytime we're on the computer, anytime at night from any computer, we can access this information. See the employees and when they started, when they ended their shift. And then there's a lot of information between the shift start and stop. What we do is each account that we have has a designated four-digit number. So just say I have an account, and it's number 2000, okay? When they punch in on their phone, they'll log in, they'll start their shift, and then the first thing they have to do before they leave the yard is enter in a travel start to where they're going, to what account. So they'll do travel start to account 2000. Then when they get on site, they hit job start, and then when they're done, job end, and before they leave that site, they have to then hit a travel start again. Mm-hmm. So we know every minute where they are, where they're going, where they've been. It's just a great system. And each time they enter in and submit a location or a job start or a job end, it takes a GPS reading as to where they were. So if someone was actually on the highway or a back road and they said they were starting a job, we could actually see that they entered the information in wrong. So it keeps everybody on their toes and keeps everything in check and keeps the company running pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's that honest people honest kind of thing that...
Right, keeps the honest people honest, exactly.
And it's sure a good validation, too, when your customer has a question about whether the lot's been swept or...
Exactly.
Or
it's the system stores 30 days of information. So if a customer has any day in question, I can go in. We enter in the four-digit number, and I talked about earlier, and it will bring up the whole month of history, the driver for each date they were there, the different drivers that were there, and the time frame that was spent on site. And it also allows the driver... When they're on a location, they could also enter in some additional information. We have, like, dumped debris. If they notice dumped debris or if there's some parking lot lights out and it's a customer that likes us to monitor that for them, they can enter in, you know, information into the phone so that without me talking verbally to our employees, we can go into the system daily and view all this information. So we're very much on top of all the, you know, situations on each of our lots.
Was Zora an easy, and by the way, for the listeners, that's XORA.com.
Right.
How was that software to get up and running with?
It takes 5 minutes.
Okay.
You call Nextel and just tell them you want to add it to your phone. They add the subscription to your phone, and then you just go into the menu in the phone, and you go to download applications. And Zora is automatically in there, already in there. And you just, you know, I think you just click get it, and then it just downloads into the phone, and the application starts working.
And on the software side, for you to view it, same thing, easy to do?
Yeah, from any computer at all. You know, you have a login name and password, and you get into the system. And once you're in, you see all your employees. You can see where they are. You can click a, you know, view map, and then you'll see all your guys out at night and, you know, where they are. In the region, it's quite an incredible application. We love it.
Another when we talked prior to the taping the interview, something I thought was innovative that you do is if a customer calls and says, "Hey, you know, the big cheese is coming tomorrow, the owner or the overall manager or something, or coming on Wednesday of next week," you go out of your way to make sure their property is immaculate. I think as
exactly.
The manager company would.
Well, what we found was that if we had a specific account that just needed to be picture perfect for the next morning, you know, we used to just have a verbal conversation with our guy and letting him know that, you know, the site needs to be perfect. And what we found was happening was that they would spend, you know, the added time on site to get that account good, but that may detract from the cleaning of our other accounts for that night for that one particular driver. So we don't even bring it up to the regular route guy that night that there's anything special going on. We just automatically bring in another truck with two guys in that truck to go and just detail it before the store is open. And this way here, we know that it was already cleaned by the previous, you know, the regular route driver. So when the other guys get there, they just have to detail whatever's left. And, you know, you can get all the ins and outs and not have to worry about, you know, jeopardizing any of their other customers' cleanliness for that night.
And you're talking about coming in early in the morning. So let's face it, through the years, I've heard lots of stories about you know, contractors do a great job at night, but then that early morning crowd has emptied a few ashtrays or something like that. So that's the kind of thing they're going in. It's not like it'll take them a lot of time. They just make
exactly.
sure nothing's changed.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of places have fast food, you know, right next door. Or up in this region, we have it's called Dunkin' Donuts. I'm not sure if they're
uh-huh.
they're
national. I think they're a national.
But yeah, you know, you'll find, you know, donut cups and debris laying around, you know, that weren't there when the driver was there earlier. So
sure.
So it does help. It just makes sure that everything is detailed good. There's no, you know, cigarette butts in the corners or anything laying around. It just makes it that extra step that just keeps our customers, you know, extremely happy with us. And that's basically how we've built our reputation for our company.
What other kinds of things do you think you're doing that are innovative that we should talk about? I know one I'd like to bring up is your customer response time. You're pretty serious about how quickly you'd like to respond to your customers' needs. Other than sweeping as well.
Well, number one with us is customer response. I know I get aggravated if I call somebody. And they're not there to pick up the phone. You know, there's only so many times you want to hear the answering machine, and especially if you have an emergency or, you know, you have something that needs to be taken care of right away and you can't get your contractor you hired, it can become aggravating for the customer.
You bet.
So we are in the office to answer the phone. If we are not in the office, then we will have the, you know, the calls forwarded to our cell phones and whatnot, or in a lot of cases on some key customers, I'll even give them my home phone number, you know, just to go that extra step. But response time is key, and our number one thing that we do here is never give the customer an excuse. I've never done it, and I never will. We've had one customer in particular of a very large chain that's a national chain that we do a lot of work for, and he said that the one thing that he's always loved about myself and Eric Getty, who's our operations manager here, is that we've never once given them an excuse as to why something wasn't done or wasn't done well or whatever. We just basically tell them we'll take care of it, and we do. And there's no excuses as to, well, it's because, you know, the store itself is making a mess, and, you know, why are we picking up after them? And we just don't go that route. We just take care of it and keep on rolling, you know. And from that, we have definitely built this company as to what it is today, just from customer relations and just never giving an excuse at any time.
Well, that is so critical for those listening out there that are beginning contractors. That is a very critical piece of information. The customer just wants the problem solved.
Exactly.
And a lot of times you can't get involved in what the price is and that sort of thing, too. That all works itself out in the long run as well. But most of the time when those guys are calling and they've got some kind of emergency, they need it done. They need it handled. They're not particularly concerned about the price. And as long as you're not gouging them, keep in mind they're not out there bidding that price either. They're just looking for the work to be done.
Exactly. We find that quite a bit. I mean, you know, the contract itself, you know, was bid on, and that's a set fee. And then when you get a good working relationship, a nice, loyal, good working relationship with your customers, then they don't even ask, you know, how much is it going to cost to, you know, get that dump pile of shingles or the couch that was, you know, thrown away behind the center. They just take care of it and send me the bill.
Right.
And by no means do we gouge them. We give them a good, fair price. But that's how it's become. It's a nice, loyal, working relationship is earned from, you know, that type of response.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've noticed over the years. And we've actually had, you know, like I said, that one chain, manager, you know, had said that to us. He says, God, I just love how you guys never give me an excuse. You know, we just take care of it. And that's what I love. So that was a great compliment. I'll never forget that.
You bet. You bet. Yeah. What other things might we bring up? I know we're about at the end of what is comfortable to download online. What are other pieces of advice that, after growing up in the business, you'd give starting contractors, especially?
Well, yeah, just don't go into it head over heels. You know, start small and just let it build. It will build over time. I mean, we have a pretty good business going here now, and you know, it didn't start and become this size overnight. You know, I mean, like I said, it's been since '92, and the more you're into it, the more you learn, and you know, you learn from mistakes. You're going to have some pitfalls along the way, but it all works out. You know, it all works out, and one day at a time, you know, and just doing top quality work. And what we've also noticed that a lot of these centers are sold, and then when they're sold, the new owners come to play, and they usually have additional centers in the area. So you'll start bidding on those, and it just starts to snowball. So it's not like you have to just, you know, do a ton of advertising and put a ton of money on equipment. Just start small and it will build.
And are you comfortable with how your business comes to you? Is what percentage would you say is referral business and word of mouth, that sort of thing?
Well, I know I haven't really kept tabs on that all that much. It's hard to say. We do have a nice website that we have online, and we do list small, no display ads, usually just a line listing ad in various yellow pages throughout our region that we service. But, you know, from what I gather, it's usually, I would probably say word of mouth. That most of our business comes in, especially with the shopping centers. Not as much the commercial, the municipal end of it, but the shopping center end, I think, is more word of mouth than anything else.
And do you offer referral fees or anything like that to your customers?
No.
Yeah.
No, we don't have anything set up like that.
See, and that's if somebody really needs business and they're trying to generate it, especially around a center, I'll recommend that they do that. That they'll have a, you know, refer us now to somebody within a mile of you, for example, and we'll give you a free sweep or something like that. But the fact is, if you build your relationship with your customers and periodically ask them if there are people that they know and that sort of thing, those referrals will just come, and there's really not a need to pay for them.
Yeah, no, I never thought of it. It's definitely a good advantage to do something like that. I just haven't thought of it. So, something that I learned today. You learn something new every day. That's one for me right there.
All right. Well, I guess that pretty much covers it, and there's certainly a lot of great information that you provided for sweeping contractors. And again, congratulations on being contractor.